another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Come on in and relax while we tell you a story. Today's presentation is an audio adaptation of the one-act play, Suppressed Desires, by the husband and wife team of Susan Glassbell and George Cram Cook, one of the very first performances by the legendary Provincetown Players on July 15, 1915. According to the Provincetown Playhouse official history, the one act by two of the founders of this experimental playwriting group was staged on the veranda of a rented Ocean View cottage at the tip of Cape Cod, where Glassbell and Cook were spending the summer. The other half of the historic twin bill was a one act called Constancy by Neith Boyce. The plays quickly moved to the famous converted warehouse on a Provincetown pier to accommodate a wider audience of distinguished vacationing writers and artists. Why not sit back, imagine yourself sitting with John Reed and Louise Bryant, painter Marston Hartley, poet Harry Kemp, editor Max Eastman, and a fledgling playwright named Eugene O'Neill as we chuckle over Suppressed Desires. Can you hear the waves and the seagulls? Our story takes place in a New York apartment just off Washington Square. The room is dominated by a large table cluttered with books, periodicals, blueprints, and tools for making architectural drawings. A breakfast table is set for three, but there are only two people sitting at it, Henrietta and Stephen Brewster, a young married couple. Steve pushes back his cup of coffee and looks dejected.
It isn't the coffee, Steve, dear. There's nothing the matter with the coffee. There is something the matter with you.
There may be something the matter with my stomach.
Your stomach. The trouble is not with your stomach, but in your subconscious mind.
Subconscious piffle.
Steve, you never used to be so disagreeable. You certainly have some sort of complex. You're all inhibited. You're not open to new ideas. You won't listen to a word about psychoanalysis.
A word? I have listened to volumes.
You've ceased to be creative in architecture. Your work isn't going well. You're not sleeping well.
How can I sleep, Henrietta, when you're always waking me up to find out what I am dreaming?
But dreams are so important. Steve, if you tell yours to Dr. Russell, he'd find out exactly what's wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with me.
You don't even talk as well as you used to.
Talk? I can't say a thing without you looking at me in that dark fashion you have when you're on the trail of a complex.
This irritability indicates you have some suppressed desire.
Yes, I'm suffering from a suppressed desire for a little peace.
Dr. Russell is doing simply wonderful things with nervous cases. Won't you go see him, Steve?
No, Henrietta, I won't.
But Stephen...
Hush! I hear Mabel coming. Let's not be at each other's throats the first day of her visit. Ah, good morning, Mabel.
Good morning.
Ah, here you are, little sister. It's so good to have you here. I was going to let you sleep, thinking you'd be tired after the long trip. Sit down. There'll be fresh toast in a minute. And will you have...
Oh, I ought to have told you, Henrietta. Don't get anything for me. I'm not eating breakfast.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to step back just a couple of stops. I'm getting very low levels for some reason on Mabel, so...
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, you're there. It's just for some reason very low. I don't know.
Close.
Fidgeting with these, but may have you just speak up just a little bit. But go ahead and start with the beginning of Mabel again, please. I apologize.
Oh, I ought to have told you, Henrietta. Don't get anything for me. I'm not eating breakfast.
I'm sorry, dude.
When she comes in.
I want you to start right...
All the way to good morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning.
Ah, here you are, little sister. Oh, it's so good to have you here. I was going to let you sleep, thinking you'd be tired after a long trip. Well, sit down. There'll be fresh toast in a minute. And will you have...
Oh, I ought to have told you, Henrietta. Don't get anything from me. I'm not eating breakfast.
Not eating breakfast?
Look out, Mabel. She's giving you her psychoanalytical look.
Why are you not eating breakfast?
Why, no particular reason. I just don't care much for breakfast. And they say, if you're trying to take off a few pounds, it's a good thing to go without.
Don't you sleep well? Did you sleep well last night?
Oh, yes. I slept all right. Yes, I slept fine last night, only I did have the funniest dream.
Oh, no. Here it comes.
And what did you dream, Mabel?
Mabel, I feel it's my duty to put you on notice. Don't tell Henrietta your dreams. If you do, she'll find out you have an underground desire to kill your father and marry your mother.
Don't be absurd, Stephen. Now, what was your dream?
Well, I dreamed I was a hen.
A hen?
Yes, and I was pushing along through a crowd as fast as I could, but being a hen, I couldn't walk very fast. It was like having a tight skirt, you know? And there was some sort of creature in a blue cap that kept shouting at me, "Step hen! Step hen!" until I got all excited and I couldn't move at all.
You say you became very excited?
Oh, yes. I was in a terrible state.
Oh, this is significant.
She dreams she is a hen. She's told to step lively. She becomes violently agitated. What can it mean?
Mabel, do you know anything about psychoanalysis?
Oh, not much. No. Does it have anything to do with war?
Not the kind of war you're thinking of.
Oh, I thought maybe it might be the name of a new explosive.
Oh, it is, but not the kind you're thinking of.
You see, Henrietta, we are not in touch with intellectual things as you are. Bob, being a dentist, somehow our friends...
Oh, to be a dentist.
Well, don't you see that editorial writer? What was his name?
Lyman Eggleston?
Yes, Eggleston, the newsman. Don't you see him?
Yes, I see him once in a while. Bob doesn't like him very well.
Your husband does not like Lyman Eggleston? Mabel, are you perfectly happy with your husband?
Oh, come now, Henrietta. That's being a little pushy.
Are you perfectly happy with him, Mabel?
Pardon me. I'm going to get some work done.
Why, yes, I guess so. Why, of course I am.
Are you really happy? Or do you only think you are? Or do you only think you ought to be?
Why, Henrietta, I don't know what you mean.
Here, look at these books and magazines, Mabel. This is what she means, psychoanalysis. Books by Freud, books by Jung, and the Psychoanalytical Review, with back issues.
But what's it all about?
All about your non-conscious mind and desires you are not aware of. They may be doing you a great deal of harm. You may go crazy with them. Yes, it's all the rage.
Any fool can ridicule anything.
What do you say it is, Henrietta?
Oh, if Henrietta's going to start that, it's back to work for me.
It's like this, Mabel. You want something. You think you can't have it. You think it's wrong. So you try to think you don't want it. Your mind protects you, avoids pain, by refusing to think the forbidden thing. But it's there just the same. It stays there, shut up in your unconscious mind, and it festers.
Sort of a mental ingrown toenail.
Precisely. The forbidden impulse is there, full of energy, which has simply got to do something. It breaks into your consciousness in disguise, masks itself in dreams, makes all sorts of trouble. In extreme cases, it drives you insane.
Oh!
But psychoanalysis has found out how to save us from that. It brings into consciousness the suppressed desire that was making all the trouble. Psychoanalysis is simply the latest scientific method of preventing and curing insanity.
Ooh, it's also the latest scientific method for separating families.
Only families that ought to be separated.
The Dwights, for instance. The wife, Helen, was living in peace and happiness with good old Joe. Well, she went to this psychoanalyzer, I guess they're called. She was psychoed, and biff, bang, home she comes with an unsuppressed desire to leave her husband.
Oh, how terrible! Yes, I remember Helen Dwight. But did she really have such a desire?
That was the first she had known about it.
And she left him?
Yes, she did.
Wasn't he kind to her?
Why, yes, good enough, I suppose.
And she left her good, kind husband.
Oh, Mabel, left her good, kind husband? How naive! Forgive me, dear, but how naive you are. She came to know herself, and she had the courage.
I may be very naive, but I don't see the good of a new science that breaks up homes.
Mabel, I believe you are very astute. Then there was the case of Art Holden's private secretary, Mary Snow, who was informed of her suppressed desire for her employer.
Why, I think it's terrible, Henrietta. It would be better if we didn't know such things about ourselves.
No, Mabel, that is the old way.
But her employer, is he married?
Wife and four children.
Well then, what good does it do the girl to be told she has a desire for him? There's nothing that can be done about it.
Old institutions will have to be reshaped so that something can be done in such cases. It happens, Mabel, that this suppressed desire was on the point of landing Mary Snow in the insane asylum. Are you so narrow-minded that you would rather have her in the insane asylum than break the conventions?
But have people always had these awful suppressed desires?
Always.
But they've just been discovered.
The harm they do has just been discovered.
I don't believe they have them in Chicago.
People have them wherever the living libido, the center of the soul's energy, is in conflict with petrified moral codes. That means everywhere. Take Steve, for instance. The other night, he dreamed that the walls of his room melted away, and he was left standing alone in a forest. Don't you see how significant it is for an architect to have walls slip away from him? It symbolizes a loss. He has some suppressed desire.
Suppressed hell.
You speak more truly than you know. It is through suppressions that hells are formed within us.
Don't you think it would be a good thing, Henrietta, if we went someplace else? Steve seems to be... Here, I'll help you gather up the dishes. Oh, I'm so sorry, Henrietta. It was one of your good plates, too. Please don't take it much to heart.
I can't help taking it to heart.
I'll get you another one, I promise.
It's not the plate.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what is it then?
It's the significant little false movement that made you drop it.
Well, I suppose everyone makes a false move once in a while.
Yes, Mabel, but these false movements all mean something.
I don't think that's very nice. It was just because I happened to think of that Mabel Snow you were talking about.
Mabel Snow?
Snow. Snow. Well, what was her name then?
Her name is Mary Snow. You substituted your own name for hers.
Well, Mary Snow then. Mary Snow. I don't see anything.
Mabel, dear, mistakes like that in names...
They don't mean something, do they?
I'm sorry, dear, but they do. My poor little sister. Tell me about it.
About what?
About you not being happy, longing for another sort of life.
But I don't!
I understand these things, dear. You feel Bob is limiting you to a life in which you do not feel free.
Henrietta, when did I ever say such a thing?
Don't be afraid, little sister. I wanted you to come for this visit because I had a feeling you needed more from life than you were getting. No one of the things I have seen would excite my attention. It's the combination. You don't eat breakfast. You make false moves. You substitute your own name for the name of another whose love is misdirected. And this dream, a hen. Come with me this afternoon to Dr. Russell. Your whole life may be at stake, Mabel.
Oh, this is terrible. I don't think we ought to talk about such things. Maybe I thought I was a hen because...
No, Mabel, don't take a child's view of it. You see only the elements used in the dream. You do not see into the dream. You do not see its meaning. This dream of being a hen...
Hen wet, hen dry, hen mad, hen. Let me out of this.
Just a minute, dear, and we'll have these dishes cleared so you can work in quiet. Mabel and I are going to sit in my room.
Never mind, I'm leaving. I'm going to be psychoanalyzed. I'm going straight to that infallible doctor of hers, that priest of this new religion. If he's got the honesty to tell Henrietta there's nothing wrong with my unconscious mind, perhaps she will leave me alone about it, and then I will be all right.
While Steve makes an appointment with the psychoanalyst, let's step away for a moment for this message from Maplewood Barn Community Theater.
It's the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater here on KBIA. Stay tuned. We'll have a short break and then more of The Boy Comes Home here on KBIA.
Here's a warming winter thought. Plan now to rediscover the wonders of outdoor theater at Maplewood Barn this summer. A brand new barn has risen in Nifong Park to replace the one that burned down 2 years ago. And there will be a full season of theater under the stars to delight the whole family. This will be the 40th anniversary season for Maplewood Barn Community Theater, and we open on May 24th with the beloved musical Fiddler on the Roof. Then comes the British comedy How the Other Half Loves, followed by Shakespeare's Hamlet, And then the suspense classic, Wait Until Dark. For details about auditions, the performances, and directions to call me as Nai Phong Park, consult the Maplewood website, www.maplewoodbarn.com. Join us this May at Maplewood Barn.
Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn community players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com. And now, back to our story.
Two weeks later, back in Steve and Henrietta's apartment, things seemed to have settled down a bit. The breakfast table was gone, and Henrietta is sitting at one end of the work table, writing, surrounded by books and periodicals. Steve enters.
What are you writing, dear?
A paper on psychoanalysis for my club. But I know you don't.
Oh, it's not that I dislike psychoanalysis, Henrietta. It's just you wouldn't leave it alone. I couldn't even take a bath without there being some mysterious meaning attached to it.
I made the analysis because I knew you needed it.
You haven't said much about it in the last 2 weeks. Is your faith in it weakened some?
Weakened? It's grown stronger with each new thing I've learned. And Mabel, she's with Dr. Russell now. Dr. Russell is wonderful. From what Mabel tells me, I believe his analysis is going to prove that I was right. Today, I discovered a remarkable confirmation of my theory about the hen dream.
What is your theory?
Well, you know about Lyman Eggleston? I've wondered about him. And she doesn't see much of him because Bob doesn't like him.
But what's the remarkable confirmation?
Today, I noticed the first syllable of his name.
Lie?
No. Egg.
Egg?
Mabel dreamed she was a hen. Freud is full of cases in which whole hidden complexes are revealed by a single significant syllable, like egg.
Doesn't the traditional relation of hen and egg suggest more of a maternal feeling?
There's something maternal in Mabel's love, but of course that is only one element.
Well, suppose Mabel hasn't suppressed a desire to be his love. What's to be done about it? What about Bob, her husband?
That can't be helped. Bob, like everyone else, must face the facts of life. If Dr. Russell confirms my assessment, I shall not hesitate to advise Mabel to leave her husband.
Mm-hmm. How long have we lived here, Henrietta?
What a strange thing to say. Oh, Stephen, I wish you would go see Dr. Russell. Don't think my fears have lessened because I have not talked about it much the last few weeks. I had to because of Mabel. But now, dear, won't you go?
How long have we been married, Henrietta?
Stephen, I don't understand you. You must go see Dr. Russell.
I have gone.
You what?
Yes, Henrietta, I've been psychoed.
You went to Dr. Russell?
Yes, I did.
And what did he say?
He said I was a little surprised by what he said, Henrietta.
Oh, don't be so exasperating.
He said, of course, he could be wrong in what he said.
He isn't wrong. Now tell me.
He said, my dreams of the walls receding and leaving me alone in a forest indicates a suppressed desire to be free.
To be free? Yes, certainly. Free from what?
Marriage.
Marriage?
He may be mistaken, you know.
May be mistaken?
I did not put much stock in it myself. It was only your great confidence.
Stephen, are you telling me that Dr. Russell, Dr. A. E. Russell, told you this?
I'm afraid so.
Told you of a suppressed desire to separate from me?
That's what he said.
Did he know who you were? That you were married to me?
Yes, he knew that.
And he told you to leave me?
It seems he must have been wrong, Henrietta. He said it was some kind of wish fulfillment.
Well, is it? Do you want our marriage to end?
It came as quite a surprise to me that I did.
What, did you tell Dr. Russell that you were unhappy?
I never told him a thing, Henrietta. He got it all from his clever inferences. I tried to refute them, but he said that was only part of my self-protective lying.
But, Stephen, Dr. Russell doesn't know how our marriage has been. You do. You should have laughed in his face.
I emphatically told him that his results were a surprise to me.
But you accepted them?
Oh, not at all. I merely could not refute his arguments. I am not a psychologist. I came home to talk it over with you.
Well, if you are going, I wish you would go tonight.
Oh, I couldn't do that. They have not even brought my clean laundry this week.
I ask you to go tonight. I do not repudiate psychoanalysis. I say again that it has done great things. It has also made mistakes, of course. But since you accept this analysis, I have to finish my paper. I wish you would leave now.
I'm sorry, Henrietta, about my unconscious mind. I will leave you to your work, but I am not leaving for good. Not yet.
I'm so glad you're here, Henrietta. Are you alone?
Very much so.
Henrietta, he's found it.
Who has found what?
Why, Dr. Russell has found my suppressed desire.
Oh, that's interesting.
He finished with me today. He got a hold of my complex in the most amazing way. But, oh, Henrietta, it is so terrible. All the lives that will be affected, all the readjustments that must be made in order to save me from the insane asylum.
The insane asylum?
That's where you said people with complexes wind up.
What did the doctor tell you, Mabel?
Oh, I don't know how I can tell you. It is so awful, so unbelievable. The doctor is certain that I have a suppressed desire for, that is, a secret desire for Stephen.
Stephen? You have a suppressed desire for Stephen?
Aren't these unknown desires terrible? They seem so unlike us.
What exactly did Dr. Russell say?
Well, you see, it is the strangest thing. But you know the voice in my dream said, Step Hen. Dr. Russell put it together today. I broke his name into syllables. Step Hen. Step Hen is Stephen. And Stephen is Step Hen.
I am Step Hen?
Step Hen, Stephen.
Why, that is merely a stupid coincidence.
Coincidence? But it's childish to look at the mere elements of a dream. You have to look into it. You have to see what it means.
On account of that meaningless play on syllables, on that flimsy basis, are you ready to... Oh!
What on earth has happened? What's the matter? Suppose I am Step Hen. What about it? What does it mean?
It means that I have a suppressed desire for you.
For me? That's absurd. What makes you think so?
Dr. Russell worked it out scientifically.
Yes, by discovering that Step Hen equals Stephen.
Oh, that isn't all. Henrietta won't give me a chance to tell it. She'd rather I go to the insane asylum than be unconventional.
We could all wind up there. Give us a rational report, please.
Oh, there's a lot about names. It all works together. I dreamed I was a hen because that's the first syllable of Henrietta's name. I was putting myself in Henrietta's place.
With Step... Stephen?
With Stephen.
Mabel, have you thought about Bob? Dear old Bob, your kind, loving husband.
Yes, but think of the living libido in conflict with petrified moral codes and the wonderful way names prove it all. Just look at Stephen's last name, Brewster. You have to say the first letter by itself, and then the hen, that's me, says to him, Stephen, B. Rooster.
Stephen, B. Rooster. That's rich.
You think it's funny, do you?
Well, what's to be done about it? Does Mabel have to go away with me?
Do you want Mabel to go away with you?
Well, but Mabel herself, her complex, her suppressed desire.
Mabel, do you want to go away with Stephen?
I'd rather go with Stephen than go to the insane asylum.
For heaven's sake, Mabel, drop the insane asylum. If you have a suppressed desire for Stephen, it is not suppressed any longer. But psychoanalysis does not say you have to gratify every suppressed desire. Why don't you stick to your own husband? Stephen, even if Dr. Russell's interpretation is correct, does that mean Mabel has to have you?
But you said Mabel Snow...
Mary Snow, I tell you. You're not as much like her as you might think, substituting your name for hers. The cases are entirely different. Oh, I wouldn't have believed this of you, Mabel. I brought you here for a pleasant visit. Thought you needed cheering up. Wanted to be nice to you, and now you, my husband, you insist.
Careful, dear. Your paper on psychoanalysis will get wet.
I don't want my paper on psychoanalysis. I'm sick of psychoanalysis.
Do you really mean that, Henrietta?
Why shouldn't I mean it? Look at all I've done for psychoanalysis. And what has psychoanalysis done for me?
Do you mean, Henrietta, that you're going to stop talking about psychoanalysis?
Why shouldn't I stop talking about it? Haven't I seen what it does to people? Mabel has gone crazy about psychoanalysis.
Crazy? Oh, no.
Do you swear never to wake up in the middle of the night to find out what I'm dreaming?
Dream what you please. I don't care what you're dreaming.
My dear Henrietta, if you're going to separate from psychoanalysis, there is no reason why I should separate from you.
But what about me? What am I supposed to do about my suppressed desire?
Mabel, you just keep right on suppressing it.
And so ends our tale, Suppressed Desires, by Susan Glasspoll and George Cram Cook, and adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. We have a spare minute or two to tell you about the authors. George Cram Cook, known to friends as Jig, was a college professor and published poet and playwright when he met an aspiring novelist, Susan Glasspoll, in Davenport, Iowa. The couple moved to New York, married, and settled in Greenwich Village. While vacationing with members of their literary circle on Cape Cod, they collaborated on Suppressed Desires. In the Hollywood movie Reds, Jig turns to John Reed and Eugene O'Neill and says, "Hey, Susan's writing a play." This was her first play and helped launch the Provincetown Players. Both Jig and Susan were leaders of the group until 1919 when they emigrated to Greece. Jig Cook, a lover of ancient Greece, reportedly roamed the hills around Delphi in shepherd's costume before dying in 1922. Returning to the United States, Susan Glasspoll went on to write many popular novels and plays, including Trifles and Allison's House, for which she won the Pulitzer Prize in Drama in 1931. She died in Provincetown after the Second World War. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation, brought to you by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and KBIA. Our players were Alana Berrigan-Scott as Henrietta, Amy McNulty as Mabel, and Michael Scott as Stephen. Our producer is Darren Hellish. This is your narrator, Byron Scott, hoping you'll join us at this time next week for another entertaining half hour at the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater.